720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. In for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. I've got Dino Tiberi to my right. Elif playing the soothing sounds of the bumpers as we work our way into what has been an interesting and eventful, as I think they always are, Olympics so far, in a place where, and I think Chicago, Dino, has that kind of a connection with this Olympics, maybe more so than others, in the way that, like, this was the, you know, Rio was the eventual, I'll do the quote sign, winner of the Olympics that we had competed for.
Right. It was back, 2012 or something. Well, it was back earlier, 5 or 6 years back, when they were trying to make the bid for, Mayor Daley was pushing to get the Olympics here, and it was an unsuccessful bid. But you know what? In some ways, it's probably worked out. You know, they didn't get here, and Rio ended up getting it. So, so far, it's so good, though. Of all accounts, it's been pretty good stuff going on.
Yeah, well, I think you always have, I think, the essential elements for what is, you know, compelling television, sports, great stories, human interest, all that kind of stuff. And if it's done well, of course, the NBC team doing it, at least for us, are doing that. But here to break down some of the issues, because we've heard back, you know, different things, and some of the storylines and the headlines related to the Olympics haven't always been the athletes or some of the things that you would want if you were, you know, in Rio or the Brazilian Tourism Bureau.
Right.
You know, there's been some other issues that have kind of made the headlines. On the line with us, we've got Kenneth Raposa. He used to cover Brazil for the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones until 2010, and prior to that for the Boston Globe. He covers the big and emerging markets in Brazil, Russia, India, and China for Forbes magazine and its website. And today he'll be talking some Rio and some Brazil. Kenneth, welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Dane. The sun should be coming up any hour now.
Any hour? You know, I'm not sure how that works, but I think, yeah.
It's still pitch black here.
As far as, like, the Olympics, it has been going on for a handful of days. Nothing completely terrible has happened. We had, I think, a kayak practice that was disrupted by a floating couch, which I think made some headlines. And then you've got this whole Zika situation, which has been going on for a while. But you had said, and it's in one of the notes here, that even when Rio was chosen, there were some things that maybe the Olympic Committee or people on the outside said, yeah, you can have an Olympics there. It is a beautiful area. It is a beautiful setting. But there's issues, whether it's the, you know, the sewage or the political corruption or whatever's going on. Those issues were there back then, and they're still here today.
Sure. Well, when it was chosen to be the host city for the Olympics, which I think was back in before 2012, I want to say almost shortly after they got the host, the FIFA World Cup in 2014. I think there was like almost 2008 when,
yep,
or 9 when they were chosen to host it. Rio was and is the beautiful but deadly city of Brazil, and it had sewer problems because when you have this, essentially this city, you know, a population the size of Boston living in slums, and there's no public sanitation system that's at least large enough to take care of that population, you're going to have runoff, and that was always the problem with Rio. It's been the case for years. Violence has been a problem for years. None of these things are new. I can't say that they've gotten worse because of the Olympics, but they certainly have gotten worse because the economy has gotten worse. So now you have more poor people without a job, and the attitude of the city is going downhill. The city is paying a lot of money to fund the games, so they had a $830 million bailout, a $2.9 billion in local currency bailout recently to hold things together. So it's been a wild ride for Rio for these Olympic games. So maybe Chicago, as your guest said, it was a blessing in disguise.
Well, I know that this wasn't necessarily plan A to have it be like this and have a lot of those issues either unaddressed or still kind of there as a problem. You know, in the past, we look at other Olympic venues, and maybe this is just a scenario that only will happen in the past and not in the future. But sometimes, you know, the host cities, they use this opportunity, whether it's dollars coming in or sponsors or however they use it, to build up some infrastructure. And so when the Olympics are gone, they've got either new stadiums or new structures or new multi-use things that they use. Were they hoping to use the interest and maybe some of the dollars hopefully coming in for the Olympics to address some of these just basic things, like you said, like plumbing,
sanitation,
that stuff?
Nothing that I know of on the sanitation side. I know a lot of the money went to upgrading some stadiums like the big and famous Maracanã Soccer Stadium, airports, but that's pretty much it that I know. There was some metro line that was supposed to be completed. I don't think it was. I think what happened with Brazil was the perfect storm of the weaker economy, right? And then you had the corruption crisis occurring at the same time, which really exploded in 2014 when you had two more years to go before the Olympics. This was like their final push. So what happened was you had a large corruption scandal involving these construction companies that, guess what the construction companies do? Well, they build that infrastructure, and all these guys are under investigation because of their role in the now famous headline, the Petrobras bribery scandal and contract rigging scandal. So the government said, look, we can't be giving these construction guys more contracts. We got to put a stop to some of these things. I don't know exactly which contract was stopped and so on, but that really put a damper on things. So you had a weak economy, and then you had this large corruption scandal based on Petrobras, which is based in Rio, and the wheels fell off. So I think they just got hit with the perfect storm, really. They had the saying in Brazil, God is Brazilian. Well, if he is, he was on vacation the last couple of years.
but he moved away years ago because he was smart. Well, you mentioned the perfect storm, and you the economic situation is one thing, and then you had problems that were there kind of indigenous for the long time in the issue, and then you've got your political corruption. But who could have seen as part of that perfect storm, you know, an international health crisis and a front page one at that?
Add that to the list. Exactly. Zika. Who would have ever thought that would be? I mean, that was Brazil has problems with mosquito-borne viruses, right? Like dengue, for example, which is a problem and probably affects more travelers and more locals on a yearly basis than Zika does. But because you have the situation with Zika, it's more visual, right? It's not very enticing to show pictures of people laying in bed or throwing up, right? But when you see a baby and the way it's deformed, well, that really, you know, the message is clear what this virus does to the body and to a child. So the story is much bigger than dengue, which is even more of a problem in Brazil. So, yeah, no one could have seen this coming. Like I said, this was the worst possible last 2 years for Rio at a time when it was really, as everyone says, this was supposed to be Rio's chance to shine. It's a beautiful city. It's got a lot of problems, of course, but geographically, it's a beautiful city, and everybody knows it. It's one of the most famous cities in the world, right? You would think right now would be the time, the dream, in the years when they got this chance to host, we're going to show people where we've come, we're going to show people how beautiful Rio is, and instead, let's say the opposite has happened.
It's surprising that this is the first time that it's actually been, you know, you think of the great cities in the world. It's surprising to me that this was the first time that they had gotten the Olympics after, you know, how many years that we've had the Olympics going on, and then to have all these issues pop up. How has it been? I mean, I'm hearing, you know, different reports of how the Zika virus or how the mosquitoes, you know, some people are saying there's none, you know, and there's other people who have, you know, said that, you know, they've had a few different events or whatever. Have you heard anything as far as how that's played out to this point? I know we've had the Olympics for a few days there, and I haven't really heard a whole lot about the effect of the mosquitoes and at the various outdoor venues that they have there.
Well, the biggest Zika story in Brazil right now, I don't know if you've heard it, was when Hope Solo, who was seen taking photos of herself in her athlete camp with a big like mosquito net over her bed.
Yeah, I did see
so
that.
She was ridiculed, right? You heard about this. And
yep,
then the Brazilians made a song about her when she was on the field, you know, the song about every time she would score or she was, you know, seen doing something great, they would sing a song about Zika. So you're not going to know. No one's going to get bit by a mosquito and then tomorrow all of a sudden, you know what I mean? It's going to take a little while before we know. I'm sure maybe in a few weeks we'll hear so-and-so got contracted with Zika. Zika, it might be one or two people. I don't know. I think you hear more about Zika today in Florida. It seems to have moved up north. And remember, it's wintertime in Brazil right now, so it's not a mosquito time. Even though, you know, Rio, it's warm. It's probably in the 70s and low 80s, but it's still – it's winter in Brazil, and it's not a time for mosquito population to run rampant.
We want to let the listeners know we're talking with Kenneth Raposa, a Forbes contributor. He's done so many things, including the Wall Street Journal, on Brazil. And when we come back from the break in the weather, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the reasons why it's great to be a world participant in the athletic endeavors, you know, of the human spirit and all that kind of stuff. But people compete for this for reasons, one of which, and Kenneth, you had mentioned it, is that this was an opportunity for them to have the world's eyes on them, not to see floating couches or mosquito netting, but to see, as you mentioned, you know, geographically, one of the most beautiful cities, and kind of hopefully an event like this, and we've seen it in some other situations throughout history, kind of bring Rio into the forefront as a real world-class city that hasn't happened. But sometimes, you know, they want to bring the Olympics in for an economic benefit. I know some recent ones it's cost a lot of money. But you want it to help the economy, maybe build up jobs or maybe build up tourism or some other things down the road. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Kenneth about the economy, what it means right now. And I think the Zika situation is already done. It's already done, you know, more than what it could individually to people that, it, you know, the mosquitoes may bite, because it's caused this perception, right, that it's there. But we're going to talk about that. WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio for another 10 minutes or so until 5 a.m. And the Olympics are going on for another, I think it's a couple weeks or something. That's going to be an extended period of time that was supposed to be kind of the coming out party, kind of the emergence for Rio into a world-class city as the eyes of the world are on it. And we talked about it, you know, hoping to see Olympic greatness and not just, you know, couches and mosquitoes. And here to give us a little insight, not into the athletic side of it, but just what the Olympics means to a community. And I think we can have, you know, extra interest in this because this could have been us. I don't want to say with the couches and the mosquitoes necessarily, but just on the economic side and what the Olympics means. On the line list, we've got Kenneth Raposo, who's a Forbes contributor and a expert on all things Brazil, has been following this story. Kenneth, welcome back to WGN.
Good morning.
So when it comes to the economic side of it, and before we went to the break, we kind of teased some of the situations, the motivations that communities, cities, countries have for trying to get the Olympics, one of which is you hope that in the end, you know, something good comes out of it, hopefully that it helps somewhat, right? I don't know if you could sign people up to say like, hey, you're just going to go bankrupt and be completely embarrassed in a worldwide way. Like, everybody sign up. People want to get the Olympics, but it hasn't worked out so far for Brazil.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out so far for Brazil, but it also hasn't worked out for a lot of other cities. There was a report, I think, about a month ago, maybe even sooner, showing how Montreal is still paying the tab on some of this. Greece is still paying the tab on some of this. Look how much money Sochi paid for it. Well, that's Russia, so that's a whole other animal altogether. So, you know, these cities, you know, they don't always get the bang for their buck, right? I mean, certain things are going to get done. It provides Rio with an incentive to upgrade its metro line, which is paltry, very small. It improves, it gives the government a chance to say, we got to do something with these airports, which most of them, especially in Rio, are state-owned. So it does provide an incentive, a kick in the pants to get things moving, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get them done in time, which is what we've seen in Rio. So does it provide an incentive? I think it's, you look maybe on a case-by-case basis, really, and it depends on what it is. Like I said, some of the, like Fitch did a report a couple of days ago saying how a lot of issues related to air travel and airports that we thought was going to be a boom to the Olympics, not going to happen because the money wasn't there. Projects weren't finished. The economy's still bad. People aren't traveling. So even though you got all these new people coming into the country right now, that's going to wear thin quick once this ends on, I think, August 21st or something.
And I know that you've written for the Boston Globe and supported things like that. And Boston was one of those, you know, towns, cities that had been in consideration and pulled themselves out for a recent Olympics. Do you think that maybe the kind of city or country that will even throw their hat in the ring for consideration is going to be limited to, and you look at the ones where money wasn't the issue, they weren't trying to make money. These are, whether you've got like these kind of, you know, dictator states, whether it's Russia or whether it's China, that's looking to kind of showcase how great they are, whether it's great they are as far as like, look, our government is great, or look, you know, our country is really good, and they're able to throw so much money into it to try to make this big splash and get the attention of the world saying, hey, we're a legitimate player on the world scene. Is it going to be just relegated to those kind of people holding the Olympics?
Well, let me make a point. I heard this a few days ago, actually, where someone was saying, hey, look, the Olympics are going to become more of a venue for autocratic societies like China, for example, where they can really crack the whip and say, you're not going to be throwing rocks through journalists' buses in the athlete camp. You're not going to be doing XYZ in, you know, the stadium. You're not going to blow somebody up because we're going to, you know, arrest you, shoot you. We're not going to give you due process. You know, you're in trouble if you do anything bad here. So those kind of countries are going to become easier hosts to the Olympics. That's what I've heard. But I have an idea. I have a strategy for what it's worth. I don't know if it's worth anything. But here's my idea at 5:30 in the morning, okay? I think that maybe we'll see this. Maybe we'll see it. The Olympics becomes more of a situation where you say, okay, we're going to have the Olympics in L.A. But L.A. is going to just host a few of the events. And maybe swimming is going to be in San Francisco, like FIFA, so to speak. You know, you got different cities have different events. So it's not all in one city, all in one place. It's more like FIFA. That way cities can decide whether they want to host volleyball or whether they're going to host, you know, cycling. And they don't have to spend all this money to, you know, ramp up roads, ramp up an airport, ramp up a few stadiums, build a stadium on the beach for beach volleyball. It's more, maybe you could spread the, I don't know, the disaster, so to speak, or something. But it seems like this might be something else. Because, you know, Rio is really highlighted, and I think even London Olympics to some extent highlighted that these cities are really under stress for this, and maybe who wants this? I don't know. You know, right. I mean, is China, I mean, how many big autocratic countries that have a modicum of development can host this? I mean, China is really the only one, right? You know, where are you going to put it? Where else do you do it? You know, there's no other nation big enough that has the money even to fund security or make, you know, a modicum of upgrades to this transportation system to bring in all these people in and out of airports and buses and so on. So maybe something that radical has to change. Maybe it becomes more like a FIFA where different cities, you know, there's not just one host city, it's different areas within a country that hosts it.
And that's an interesting thought. We were talking the other day about, you know, how the Super Bowls are, you know, generally in the same places and things. I wonder if there's any thought to maybe having certain, you know, Olympic cities, you know, where you don't run into this problem where it's like a set area, you know, set
there's like 10 cities that it just kind
right, of it just floats. Rotates from one to the other instead of having a bidding process. And of course you have all the corruption and things that go into, you know, stuff like that. And that maybe that just makes it, you know, more manageable where they're repeating performances from the, you know, the prior years. And it's not, you're not getting it into the situation like Rio's run into with, you know, cost overruns and things not being finished and just basic, you know, living things like sanitation and those things, you know, not being to the level that they should be. You know,
well, let's put it like this, for example, FIFA, okay? Everybody, of course, the press was all over Brazil. FIFA's going to be a disaster. It wasn't a disaster. To my knowledge, there's one stadium in the state of Goiás, in the interior of the country, which is where the capital city is located, Brasilia. They have one stadium there. I believe it's that state that is basically not used, okay? It was a FIFA-quality, large stadium to host a World Cup game. And that stadium's kind of was a waste of money. I know there was an airport that was being built, a new one somewhere in the north. That was kind of a waste of money. That didn't do it. Nothing happened there. You can chalk that up for corruption and local politicians. But on balance, all these stadiums were already in existence. They were just upgraded. So you didn't hear about São Paulo saying, we don't have any money. You didn't hear about Curitiba City saying, we don't have any money. Rio, we're broke. But everything was in one place in Rio. So now you have a 2 billion real or $830 million bailout required because it was essentially FIFA World Cup, instead of being shared in 10 different cities or whatever it was, 7 different cities, one place. And maybe that's what happens because, you know, Rio has shown that these developing markets like this that want to host these games, because it seems like every time Boston, for example, they want to host Olympics, as soon as somebody talks about it, probably the same in Chicago, as soon as someone talks about it, the people just go, no, thank you.
Well,
instant.
Also, too, is that you have, and I think that's a great idea, and it's one way to capitalize. There's a couple reasons that it makes sense other than just taking kind of some of the pressure off the host cities. You know, one of the reasons is, we talked about it in 1980, it was on tape delay, is that communication, social media, everything revolved has made this world such a smaller place. And I think for the viewer, which is probably the vast majority, the vast, vast majority of the people that actually enjoy what's going on, only a handful of people, you know, in a sense, can even be there in person, is that you can go ahead and watch those things in that way. And then you just have this big scope of different events. So let's say here in Chicago, we could host one thing, but then there's like 10 other events that you're thinking, well, how are we going to do that? And again, I think you're right too, is there's only, I think we've exhausted. We've got Russia, we've got China. Those are your, you know, countries with all of the kind of forced labor and the funds and the work for, and the motivation, right, to be, to showcase, you know, hey, look what we can do, you know, on that big stage. I don't know how it changes, because that would be such a complete difference compared to the host city thing. But then you also have just the motivation. Initially, when Rio got the bid, it was because they said, oh, well, we want to give an opportunity to South America and all that, when we see now that it was a lot of, you know, kickback and corruption. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I think you bring up some great points. And before we let you go, I want to let the listener, Kenneth Rapoza, a Forbes contributor, how can people keep up with you, your thoughts on this and, of course, other things as the clock moves forward in the world?
Okay, well, they can... Well, they could just Google my name, and then they'll find all the ways to contact me. On Twitter, of course, is another way. But and just find me on Forbes magazine, Forbes.com. You know, that's pretty much the way.
Right.
Or on Twitter.
Easy enough,
Google,
right?
He throws the challenge out to the list. Like, you just Google me, and you'll find
me. Yeah, Google me, and you'll find. That's sort of like the easy way. That's the easy way now. How do I get a hold of you? And just Google my name plus something else, and you'll see it.